Parashat Vayetzeh, you can find it in the book of Genesis, chapter 28, verse 10. Okay, now, what's so special about this parasha? Because this is an amazing parasha, amazing story. It starts, just to make the background, Vayetzeh Yaakov mi-Be'er Sheva. Yaakov is getting out of Be'er Sheva. Whoever was with us in the previous parasha, Parashat Toldot, okay, in which, in the end of the parasha, we hear that Rivka, the mother of Jacob and Esav, she hears that Esav wants to kill Jacob, so she tells Isaac, send our son Jacob to Haran, so he marries one of the daughters of my brother. So Isaac gives Jacob the blessing, and he sends him to Haran. And then it says, Vayetze Yaakov mi-Be'er Sheva vayelech Harana. And Jacob got out of Be'er Sheva, and he went to Haran. And here there's a lot of questions. Why wasn't that enough to say that Jacob went to Haran? Why isn't that understood, taken already by, you know already, if you went to Haran, you left Be'er Sheva. Vayifga b'makom, and he hits the place. Vayelen sham, and all the commentators are saying, what do you mean he hits the place? He was going to Haran. What's hitting the place? That means that it was not planned. And the explanation is that Jacob, traditionally, he was going to Haran, but he was going to Haran in a special way. It's called Kfitzat HaDerech. What does it mean, Kfitzat HaDerech? In modern language, it means quantum leap. You know that according to quantum physics, you can deliver information, a particle, or even an object. Meanwhile, they did information and particles from one place to another without passing through the way in between, the space in between. How could that be possible? So about that, Niels Bohr, the great scientist, the father of the quantum physics, said, whatever is logical is not real, whatever is real is not logical. Our logic can't understand that information or a particle can be delivered from one point to another without being in all the points on the way between. Okay? Here we're talking about, this is, you know, quantum physics is about a little bit more than 100 years old. Okay, but this was written 34 centuries ago. And Jacob, he did Kfitzat HaDerech. Kfitzat HaDerech, this is quantum leap. But he kind of somehow had a mistake with the coordinates, or somebody like hacked into his system, and instead of finding himself in Haran, he finds himself in the place. What's the place? We'll learn later on. This is the house of God. This is the place that later on, that this is the same place that Abraham bound Isaac, Mount Moriah. This is the same place that he saw later the ladder. This is the place that the temple was built years later by King Solomon. Vayifga b'makom, he hits the place. Vayalen sham kibah shemesh, so the Midrash is saying, he hits the place and he's like, what am I doing here? I'm supposed to be in Haran. Suddenly the sun set. He realizes, suddenly, how come the sun set suddenly? Oh, so there's a legend. God said, you're going away and you're passing by my place. You're not going to stay to sleep in my place. I bring the sun down, and suddenly there was another quantum leap. It was afternoon, suddenly it was middle of the night. He went to sleep. Now there's another story. It says, Vayikach me'avnei ha'makom, verse 11. He took from the stones of the place and he put under his head. Since when people sleep and put stones under the head? However, the Midrash is saying, the stones were fighting, who is this righteous man going to put his head on? So they wanted so much, so God made from them one stone. How do we know? Because when he wakes up, it says that he took oil and he anointed the stone. We said there were stones. How come those stones became this stone? one stone, or they became one. Okay, very logical. Then he lied at that place, and he has a dream. Okay, verse 12. And in his dream, he sees a ladder standing on earth, but the head of the ladder rises to the heavens. And he sees the angels of God coming up and down the ladder. Famous story, Jacob's ladder. And God is standing upon and says, I'm God, the Lord of Abraham, your father, and the Lord of Isaac. The land that you're sleeping on, I give that land to you and your offsprings. And then the commentators come with another weird explanation. That because he says the land you're sleeping on, you know, how big is the land you're sleeping on? So, and you know, what kind of a promise? So the sages are saying, and that's most of the commentators, it's a very known, that God took the land of Israel and folded it. He just folded the whole land under Jacob. And what happened to the water in the Sea of Galilee or in the Dead Sea? If the whole water is spilling out, it wouldn't be so salty today. So how do you explain it? So, again, think about all of that, all of these examples, because all of these really weird stories, they're not weird, they're just challenging our thinking. Why? Because what do you study Torah for? If you are the same after the study as you've been before, what have you done? Nothing. The purpose of the study is transformational. We are supposed to transform. And the question is, where is it? All of these stories taking us? So God is giving Jacob all of these promises that he will be spread all over, and then comes again the same blessing. Verse 14, chapter 28. ונברכו בך כל משפחות האדמה ובזרעך. And all the families of the earth will be blessed by you and by your offsprings. והנה אנוכי עמך, I'll be with you. I will guard you wherever you go. And I'll bring you back to this land. Because Haran is not in the promised land. Haran is in Turkey. Of today. It was not Turkey then. Turkey of today. And כי אלוה עזבך, I will never leave you. עד אשר אם עשיתי את אשר דיברתי לך, till my promise is going to be fulfilled. ויקץ יעקב משנתו, verse 16. And Jacob woke up. ויאמר, and he says, אכן יש אדוני במקום הזה. God is in this place. ואנוכי לא ידעתי, and I did not know. 17. ויירא ויאמר, and he was in awe. And he said, how awesome in this place, מנורה, המקום הזה, אין זה כי אם בית אלוהים. That must be the house of God. וזה שער השמיים. And this is the gate of heaven. Now, the story of Jacob continues. He anoints a stone. He calls the place the house of God, Beit El. Okay? He goes to his uncle. There's a weird story on the well. They comes a well, he meets that well with the shepherds, and when he sees Rachel, he becomes so powerful, he moves by himself the stone that only a bunch of shepherds can remove. He sees Rachel, he kisses her, and then he says, you know, I'm in love with you, I want to marry you, I was thinking about you all my life, you are my dream soulmate. And then he works 7 years for her. On the night of the wedding, Lavan is switching Rachel with Leah. In the morning, Yaakov realizes that this is Leah and not Rachel. He works 7 more years for Rachel. He has, in this parasha, 12 children coming out of Rachel and Leah. And in the end, Leah is pregnant with a 12th son. 12 children was one girl. 12th son, and now Jacob wants to run away and to go to the land of Israel because he knows the 12 sons must be born in the Holy Land. Okay, I just gave a brief of the parasha, what's in it for us today. And that's what's important. And like, in order to understand that, we have to go a little bit to one of the most important pillars of Rabbi Ashlag philosophy about the redemption of every human being and humanity. And Rabbi Ashlag, the founder of the modern Kabbalah movement, the commentator of the Zohar and the writings of Rabbi Zakaria, when he explains in his article of the giving of the Torah, what's the main thing the whole story is about? What is story? The stories in the Torah, the five books of Moses, the books following, the commentators, later on, a human life, the purpose of humanity, it's all about one thing. In that essay that he wrote somewhere in the early 30s, he says, Rabbi Ashlag, it's all about that mitzvah, that precept in Leviticus, love others as you love yourself. Why is that mitzvah so important? Why does it say about Hillel the Elder and about Rabbi Akiva? There are two stories that are kind of similar about the two, although they lived about 100 years apart from each other, maybe even more. Depends when you're talking about the main activities were of these great sages in Jerusalem and later on in the Galilee. The question is, and that's what's important, why do both of them say, and that's what Rabbi Ashlag is asking in that essay, that the whole Torah, if you really want to know what it is about, it's about loving others as you love yourself. Okay, that's the whole thing. Now, and Rabbi Ashlag explains, and he says as follows, the creator of the universe is the light of the universe. It's a source of light. Nothing, even an atom, even the smallest particle, cannot exist, even for the smallest amount of time, without the light of the creator flowing through it. Everything that reality is made of is because it's imbued with the light of the creator. However, the light of the creator is endless, and it's all of sharing and caring. If we want to describe, we can't understand the endless because our brain, logically, is incapable of grasping something that is bigger than anything we can give it boundaries. We perceive stuff through the borders of that stuff. Where does it begin? Where does it end? Oh, when does it start? When does it finish? Understanding something that has no beginning and no end, in size or in time, that is above time and space, our brain is impossible. Our logic is impossible to get. Now, but the question is, can we live without connecting to it? And the answer of every Kabbalist is, there's no way you can live, or any particle, can live without connecting to the light of the Creator. So, it's all about making our way to connect to the light of the Creator. However, no free lunches. When we were created with a desire to receive that light. And since we were created in the image of God, we also have the tendency for independence. We can't stand somebody else or something else controlling us. We need to be creative, and we must share. Why? Because similarities attract. Which means, on one hand, when we're talking about the Tanakh, the Torah, the prophets, the writings, we're talking about the Mishnah, we're talking about the Zohar, we're talking about the Talmud, and all the other commentaries, all of them are about one thing. How can we attach ourselves to the endless light of the Creator, because this is our calling and we were created for that purpose and that purpose only? The problem is like this. When we are selfish, we are stuck in what we can call in the box. What happens when somebody is stuck in the box? He's blocked. He's stuck. There's no flow of energy. He is the same thing day after day, hour after hour. It's better to die than be like this. Because humans must change and transform. Why do we always say think out of the box? And Rabbi Ashok is saying basically, like when you say, it doesn't say it this way, but when we think about thinking out of the box, how do we get out of the box? Some people say, oh, we need the muse. You need to be creative. You need that, you know, this is what a modern life innovation is about creativity. But how would you be creative for the good and not for the evil? How do you do it right? And how do you do it in a way that you connect to true success and growth? Says Rabbi Ashlag, since everything good is coming from the light of the Creator, we know that similarities attract. This is a universal law that transcends religion, nationality, culture, any kind of profession, whatever, who you are, gender, similarities attract. Which means, we want to connect it to all that is good, we have to get out of ourselves because the nature of a human being, since birth, is selfishness. You never met an altruistic baby. Babies cannot think about anything else but their immediate benefit. They want to feel dry, they want to feel warm and protected, they want to feel comfortable. The moment they don't, they scream, they yell, they make it uncomfortable for you till you fix it for them. There's no place for negotiations. Why? They can think only about themselves. As babies grow and they become little toddlers, you can start to communicate, but you can also communicate and negotiate with them. Yes, but they still, whatever they think about is about themselves. And you know what? As we grow older, we always stay the same because most people, most of the time, they're selfish. And the problem is like this. How do we connect to success, to bliss, to innovation, to reinvention, to power, to energy, true power, true muse, if we are stuck in our old self? Rabbi Ashok said that's impossible. The only way we have to get out of the self. How do we get out of the self? It's illogical because our logic is always based on one thing. Me, and again me. Which is called an agenda, interest. We always thinking about, even when we do good to others, we do it because it gives us some satisfaction. So we do it for ourselves. So there's no way. The problem is, if I want to connect to true success, I need to connect to the endless light of the Creator, who is the source of all that is good and all change that can transform wherever I am into something better. The answer for that is the power of Jacob. What is the symbol of Jacob? And we studied that in the previous parashot. Jacob was the third in the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham was about giving. You know, understanding the logic of giving is easy even for a kid. It's nice to give. It gives you a good feeling. If everybody gives, it's great. Whatever. That's a logic of giving. But there's also a logic of receiving. If you don't receive, you cannot give. Okay, so the one is the right column in Kabbalistic terms, which is giving and sharing and being there for others. That's the chariot that is called Abraham, state of mind of giving. And there is Isaac, which is the receiving. We can understand them both, logically. But the problem is both the right and the left, they always fight with each other because they contradict each other. Hey, just a second. Am I here to give or am I here to receive? And therefore, most people do not understand the concept. Some people declare, I'm here just to give. I'm here to give. I don't take anything for myself and so on. You know, they'll be lying about other things too. And some people are just, I'm here just to take. I'm not here to give. Yeah, so you don't pay money if you want to buy something. You just take it by force. Most people, they give even if they don't want to. So you have like kind of a confusion that most people live in that confusion. And because of that confusion, most people are not connected to the right dimension of true success and happiness. Therefore, it's very hard to find real, really happy people. And I say to people like this, it's very simple. How do you know Rabbi Ashlag is saying, who is full with positive light? And the answer is, there's a secret. You cannot give what you don't have. Which means, when we feel blessed, fulfilled, whole, and holy, we cannot think negative on others. We cannot be not nice towards others. We cannot even stop ourselves from being nice to others, because when you are full with good, you can't stop yourself from sharing it, because the nature of the light of the Creator is good. And when you're full with that, you cannot not be of sharing. On the other hand, when we are feeling empty and deprived and dry, no essence, it's very hard to be nice to others. And now the question is like this. How do you know if somebody is really, really successful and connected to the essence of life, to the light of God? See the way they behave towards others. And I ask people, look around. How many of the people that you know are really fulfilled? How do you know? They're really nice, loving people most of the time. And the answer is, most of us don't know too many people like this. Don't know. Why? Because most people are deprived, because they don't know how to connect to the source of life. The connection to the source of life is beyond logic. Logic would always be frustrated between giving, maybe I gave too much, maybe I gave too little, and taking, maybe I took too much, maybe I took too little. Talking about most people are somehow decent. I'm not talking about really like villains or like saints. I'm talking about most human beings. They are kind of confused. And they are confused because they don't understand the idea of Jacob. The idea of Jacob, which is the main idea of the Torah, is called the central column. And central column means you can be giving when you're taking, you can be taking when you're giving. You have to do both at the same time. How could I do that? And that is only when you have a purpose that is higher than your reality. And the purpose is connecting to the tree of life, what the way the Zohar calls it, or the light of the Creator. Whatever relationships I have with people, remember, we are stuck in the logic that we are born with, and it has been developed all our childhood and as we grew up. And this logic is mostly about me, and what do I get out of it? What's in it for me? That's the basic logic of most people. What's the problem? That really get, when you are stuck in that box, it's the worst and darkest jail ever. Why? Because similarities attract. The light of God, the pleasure and the fulfillment and the happiness and the energy and the bliss and the power of success, true success, is coming from an entity that is endless and endlessly sharing. How could selfishness align itself and communicate with endlessness without having a disaster? So that's why Rabbi Ashlag explains to us, loving others as loving ourselves, that's the hardest thing in the world, because psychologically, we don't, no, learn psychology. Other people do not exist in our minds. They exist only as serving our own purposes. People that do not serve any purpose in our lives, we don't see them. We don't care about them. We don't know them. Okay, they don't exist for us. They are in existence. Unless we learn, as Rav Ashlag is saying, when we get out of ourselves, how do we get out of ourselves? When we learn to love others unconditionally, not because they're going to say thank you, we don't need that, not if you really want happiness, okay? You don't want dependency on what people say about you. When you care for people, as a rule, because this is the only way to get out of the box. There's a quantum leap, and that's Vayetze Yaakov. There's a quantum leap that happens when we learn how to care for others unconditionally. It takes a lifetime. When you take it as a rule has no conditions, caring for others without any conditions, without any reward. The only reward is that when I got out of myself, who do I meet, says Rav Ashlag? The Creator. Why do I need to love others? Why do I need to care for others? For their property, for their well-being, for their honor, for their wealth, for their health, for everything. Why do? Because it's the only way I can get out of myself. So Rav Ashlag is saying, so what about love God as you love yourself? But you don't know God. How many people do you know personally, or you heard about or read about, they were sure they love God, and in the name of God, they created the worst atrocities in the history of humanity, in the name of the love of God? Do you really think that that's a love of God? No, that's called ego trip. You're in love with an imagination you created in yourself. You never got out of yourself, so you have no idea. And you think that God, that what you feel inside is God. No, it's a lord of darkness. The only way we can meet God is do the illogical. What's it? Taking the quantum leap, which means getting out of our self, me, what's in it for me, and thinking about being in his shoes or her shoes, getting into their skin and try to understand how do they feel and how we can accommodate that, not because it's nice. It's the only way we can feel alive. Is it logical? No, but it's the real truth. You have to get out of yourself. You have to get out of Be'er Sheva. Be'er Sheva, Sheva is seven. Seven symbolize this world. Okay, you have to get out of yourself in order to have a quantum leap. And the only way to have a quantum leap is to understand that somehow it's on my highest purpose and interest to be there for others unconditionally, if they say thank you or not, if they paid you or not. That's what you do, because when you connect really to somebody else and you really care for them and you really hold them high and you really show and you don't judge them, what happens is you make that final quantum leap. It's illogical, but it is real. And suddenly, you realize stuff that you never could never understand on your own. Because the quantum leap leads us to a place in which I realize that, you know what, I didn't think about it, but serving others served me too. Makes the whole world better. Because if the world was really altruistic, we won't be facing such a hell that people face today. You know, the hell that people go through, the frustration, the feeling it's not fair, and why these people are so bad and so evil, and the feeling of victim and the feeling of blame that people carry with them all their lives, and they punish themselves and others because of it. It's because people don't understand that this is stupid, that this is insane, that this is crazy to harbor those feelings and those thoughts. And the Zohar says in this parasha, the power of Jacob, that all his life he was attached to true thoughts, the man of truth. What does mean true thoughts? Only about attaching to the light. He did everything just to attach to the light, just to connect to the light, just to get out of himself. That's why we're talking about Kfitzat HaDerech, about quantum leap. Quantum leap means there's the rules that apply in level one before the leap has nothing to do with the rules in level two after the leap. You can't use the textbook to level one for level two. It's a different world of, and that's exactly the story. When we are busy with our childish bitterness and negativity and it's not fair and let's take it from them because otherwise I won't have it for myself. This is a logic that belongs to the tree of darkness. The tree of death, says the Zohar. This logic is making sense only when you're stuck in the box. Only when you're really getting out of yourself. Only when you're really getting out of your selfishness. And that has only when you apply yourself to serve others unconditionally. And this is not easy. This is not easy. Whoever says it's easy is lying, okay? It's not easy. Why? Because it's against our nature. But when we do it and we do it again and again and our body is screaming, why? Take care of yourself first. No, when you don't cheat and we don't lie and you follow the rules of the Torah and the values that came out from Jerusalem to the whole world, these values are endless. Because they connect us outside the box, the quantum leap. When you put together that the other person and yourself is the same, and you realize that it was always the same, and you both, that's called the tree of life, that is good for both sides, that's called win-win. Before you got to the road, you didn't realize that. It was only win-lose. When you are in win-lose, you're stuck in the box. When you realize finally that it's win-win, that it's all for one and one for all, that's where everybody wins because we are all one. And the only way together is with love and not with blame, not with hatred. Hatred is never justified. The means does not justify the causes. The cause does not justify the mean. Okay, you have to do it with the way the Torah is saying. Love others as you love yourself, only with that knowing that finally, if you try hard, you finally make that quantum leap and suddenly it all looks very logical. How could I think differently? We are all one. When we serve each other, when we care for each other, because when you get out, you get to the tree of life. When you have thoughts that are only connected to the tree of life, everything will come out good. Not now, later, a month later, a year later. That's what the Zohar is teaching us. The Zohar says that the most important thing is the thoughts. When we have these thoughts of holiness, then only then we can achieve that quantum leap in which one second you're here and another second you're there. That a whole country could be in one place because time and space are illusion in the real spiritual world. And then you reach the gate of heaven and you see the ladder that connects the heaven and the earth because you're not just connecting you and another person. When you connect to another person, you basically get the ability to connect the heaven and the earth together. And then there is bliss in whatever is your earth because there's no separation anymore between the heaven and the earth. And then you become a blessing to all the families of the earth because you don't think like everybody else. You show an example that you could be honest and loving and kind and positive and be successful at the same time in a way that nobody else can understand. So either they hate you or they follow you and take an example. Okay? What's the connection to Jerusalem? Because What is the connection to Jerusalem? Because the Jerusalem is the place of the ladder. That's a place that heaven is kissing the earth. People come to Jerusalem to hear, to feel that vibration deep inside, that this is true, that goodness and loving and caring and honesty do pay, and it's the only way to connect to truth and to life and whatever is good. That's why people come to Jerusalem, because it's easier to hear that sound in Jerusalem. That's why those values came to the world from Jerusalem. That's why it appears over here. And that's how the message came from Jacob to 12 tribes, which symbolize the 12 windows of prayer. There's not one window. There's not one way that is right. But whatever way that is coming with human dignity, loving for the other person, that will get you to the quantum leap out of the box. And then you find God. You found the connection. You find the central column, which is different logic, totally different logic. It's the right logic of the tree of life, which all the blessings are dependent on. Thank you so much, and have a great week.